Hello and welcome to episode 33 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host, a man who is having as much fun as Jet would have in a Millennium Barn Dance. It's Russ from Scotland Surveyor. Russ, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. And how about you?
I'm fantastic. I'm thinking about some liquid football that we may be talking about later in the podcast. But first and foremost, I believe you had a rather successful game week at the weekend.
I did. Rare under-23s. The team came good. This is a team that I restructured and rebuilt, maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I added Sven Mijnen's rare card from Sparta Rotterdam. I think it was the start of last week, just round about when we recorded the last pod.
Yep.
And at that point, I'd also just bought Bojan Miovski of Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
So the lads, they sat first in rare under-23s all of Saturday. Sunday morning, they still sat first. And then round about maybe 3 p.m. on Sunday, the sort of Sunday games in the Eredivisie had kind of started in Belgium as well. And I was still sitting third. So I was pretty confident of a prize. My Opta score went up and down. It was 397, 391, 385 at one point. However, it finished on 397. I finished 18th and I got a tier one rare reward.
Excellent news. Excellent news. Yeah, do you know what? I was sitting and I love a nosy Russ, as we both know. And I was keeping an eye on it, and I seen where you were sitting, and I think you'd obviously kind of looked back a few hundred places to see what could catch up. And I'd kind of done similar, but yeah, I'm really, really glad you finally got a bit of luck where things come together. Cause you know, it's one of those where so many weeks you've had five cards, or we both actually had five cards that if they were all in the right team together, that they're smashing out a win. So it was really good to see. And it was a fairly healthy value to the reward.
Yeah, it was not bad. Being honest, had a look at the rewards that were kind of 15th to 30th. I was 18th. The prizes, there was probably about four prizes beneath me that I would say were worth 0.1 more. It's a decent card to an extent, in the fact that he's just on loan. He's playing in Belgium for Union St. Gallo. I think the value of the card would maybe be round about maybe somewhere between 0.35 and maybe 0.5 if he was in for him. I'd had a look at previous sales and things. Now, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, winning a card is great. So it was Simon Adingra, I think you pronounce him, young Ivory Coast striker, on loan from Brighton at the moment. To be honest, looking at his scores, I can't really see how I'm going to use him because he's actually not scoring particularly well. He's coming off the bench for them. I can't see how he'll dislodge Donte Vanzi up front for them. And they've also got the guy, Boniface, that plays up front. So from a usage perspective, it's pretty much of no use. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be probably trading it or selling it. But from the same token, if someone had said to me on Friday, you're going to finish in the top 20 and you're going to win at least 0.3 in cards over the weekend, I probably would have, you know, shaking there and then on Friday and accepted that and been happy.
Just
so
taking it. Yeah, no, do you know, that's the
just
thing though.
Ultimately,
I tend to look at the cards that you win as, you know, just for the monetary value, because unless you get extraordinarily lucky to have one that falls straight into your team, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be looking to sell that card. Do you know what I mean? And it's the monetary value that's attached to it. And you know, especially in this current climate, winning a, you know, what better part? Well, it was when the rewards came out, you know, about 500 quid's worth of a reward is massive regardless. Eh? So, no, I'm just glad it finally all came together and you got a solid result there. So,
I think it's also, you know, kind of pays testament to what we've actually been trying to do, both of us, mm-hmm. on the podcast. And, you know, showing people that we're not scared to make changes. Some of the trades that were involved, some of them were, you know, just good timing and they got a good value. But there were also a couple of trades that, yeah, put my, you know, balls in a sack and handed them to Pavel, you know, and just, it was a case of that, you know, not always the best deal. And I was honest with people. I think maybe, I can't remember what one it was, but I said one on one of the previous podcasts where I actually said exactly what I sent Pavel for the deal. And it was about, what was it, 150, 200 quid or something in his favour to get what I wanted.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes you've just got to do it. Am I happier with my gallery overall now? Yes, 100%. I'm actually in contention in the midweek tonight for the super rares. I noticed the entries in Super Rare Challenger were really, really low. And I fully expected, to be honest, on the morning of submission, I expected to, you know, see it probably rise by about 50 or 60 entrants, sorry. And it didn't. And I'm like, oh, there's only 25 people in this. So I've got five cards in, all playing tonight. So I'm just needing Tony Watt, obviously, to come off the bench for United to have five actually playing. But yeah, it's looking okay at the moment. I'm sitting sixth live in play. There's six prizes. I had a look at I did a full sort of analysis on it. That's how sad I am. But I looked at all the managers, as you know, because I sent you the image. But there are,
you certainly did.
There were about seven managers have entered the competition without a single player playing. I was like, right, okay. So then I looked and thought, right, I'll have a look at the rest. And I think there are 10 managers technically that are genuinely in contention for the six prizes because they've got four cards or more, and everybody else is like two cards, three cards. So we'll wait and see how it pans out. It's all obviously dependent on how Scottish football pans out tonight.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going not too bad.
Unless you're a Kilmarnock fan.
Unless you're a Kilmarnock fan. But we will see. There's still 20 minutes to go. We are all very well aware of massive collapses. But the weekend for me, do you know what? It was fairly steady, probably more than anything. And again, with the second division, I had two players that if I'd played them instead, I'm actually close to the tier ones. you know, I've got I had an 85.9 sitting in a training team, which wasn't ideal. But once again, my Spanish goalkeeper, another 75 score. I think he's now got something like 7 or 8 clean sheets for the season. So really strong performance there. And I got the higher ETH, which, you know, I'm always happy to get. When I got it yesterday, it was, you know, about 50 quid. And then it was very quickly about 35 because of the sudden kind of crypto collapse last night. But as we've said many, many times on the podcast through the 30 episodes, when there has been massive fluctuations in ETH value, you know, that's why we both value things in fiat, in pounds and pennies. Because ultimately, over the course of a few days, once the market levels back out, it'll be bounced back to exactly what the price was in terms, you know, in terms of pounds. So yeah, it was a wee bit gutting that way. But I do have two teams heading into the weekend. I've got a team in midweek, but to be honest, it was knackered by a DNP. Boys played every game this season, and last night didn't even get on. Played the day after his dad's death, I believe, the fullback for Hibs. And he didn't play at all last night. He was on the bench, didn't come on. So that was a bit of a downer, but hey-ho.
Top performers from last week?
From last week, it would have been Jose Ricardo for... he plays for Lugo in the second tier in Spain. He's now... Mm-hmm. He's an under-23 eligible card. He's turned 24 now, but he's under-23 eligible. He's on the last five now of 65. But the one problem with him is he absolutely loves a yellow card. I think he's now on 9 for the season, and he's only played like 13 games or something. So loves a yellow card. However, he also loves a massive green score. Dundee United have just gone 4-0 up, according to the notification I've just got there, Russ. So yep, him, Anders Fernandez, like I say, 75 points. A signing I made right before the podcast last week, Danny Armstrong, who's actually still Kilmarnock's top performer tonight so far, but he knocked in 2 assists, so he got 70.1. So yeah, had some really big performers. And again, Andy Considine, ageless, 64.3 at home against Rangers. And he was part of my All-Star team, which put together a 278-point total. So, again, I was comfortably inside the higher ETH. So, yeah, it was pretty decent. It was pretty decent. As I say, midweek's been pretty much terrible. But roll on the week. Well, I said, we say the weekend, Russ. But the next game week is 10 friggin' days long. Which just seems extraordinarily odd.
And starts tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow. Well, actually, right as this podcast will have come out, it starts at 10 a.m., I believe. Maybe it's 11. But it's an early morning start. It's a day early. So if you haven't set your lineups, guys, pause the podcast, go and set your lineups and come back again. But it actually includes one half of the La Liga Smart Bank fixtures. So I've got half of a second division team because they're on the Copa del Rey this weekend. So there's no games there. And then next weekend, the Saturday games are included in this game week and the Sunday games are included in match day one. It's really, really, you know, obviously I moaned about it at the time when I said some of the games were possibly not going to get covered. But then now they're actually getting split into alternative game weeks, which is not helpful at all. However, it has meant that I've got two teams in here. So what I've actually got, Russ, going into this 10-day period is I have an all-star team, which is made up of Spanish teams players and SPFL players. And then I've also got a Challenger Europe team for the first time in a little while. So it's again, it's fully SPFL, which has definitely seemed to be, you know, holding us in fairly good stead, apart from tonight. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. But 10 days, what am I going to do after my first set of games? I've got to wait a whole week for my next team to go and play. It's going to be a bizarre time.
Yeah, and I know that they've put out the publications, but do you know what? I think it still feels kind of almost the changes have kind of come under the radar a wee bit. Like, I just think they could have like sung and danced about it a little bit more and made sure everybody was aware. You know, I myself up until probably about 3-4 hours ago hadn't realised. Obviously, I've got, you know, trying to do team lineups for the final Scottish games before the break, and I'm thinking, oh, do you know what? I'm maybe looking, maybe put it off. I've been busy today. I'm maybe looking tomorrow morning or, you know, tomorrow afternoon, just after work. And I'm now in the position that, you know, Wednesday night, I'll be doing them tonight before this obviously podcast drops in the morning. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, what's your thoughts? Obviously the publication came out in the Surrey blog, given kind of the lineup, the sort of the rundown of match day 1 to 7. Have you got any particular thoughts? I know you kind of study these things probably a bit in advance of than myself. So what's your thoughts?
To be honest, Russ, I haven't looked at it that much. I'm on a bit of a downer with this World Cup stuff. Now, I know we're going to obviously say something about that in a wee bit, but the setup of it has kind of hacked me off with the way that it's split the actual leagues, as we talked about before. I don't think it's going to really be particularly beneficial, if I'm 100% honest, in the long run. But we will see how it pans out. I haven't bothered to look into any great detail as to, you know, what weekends my games are in or what have you, because as I've just discovered, I'm getting them split over match days and things like that. So I haven't really looked too much at it. I don't think it was being particularly clear. It seems slightly haphazard the way that it's been done. It doesn't seem like a decision that's been made by football people, dare I say. You know, it's totally changed the format of it, and I'm not a massive fan, if I'm being perfectly honest. However, we're over the punches. It is only a month. This time next month, we'll be getting ready for the first SPFL fixtures coming back again. So it is what it is. And, you know, like I say, roll with the punches.
Yeah, we'll see we'll see how it kind of actually looks when we see what actual players we'll have available. I had a look, obviously, just very quickly tonight at the sort of the prizes and things. And I'll be honest, I wasn't excited. I was just like, right, okay, that just kind of looks the norm. It's been sort of advertised in the blog as that there's an increase in prizes. I'm guessing that's based on in relation to how many players are usable. You know, that's my sort of anticipated guess. But yeah, I'm looking going, oh, there must be some massive incentive. You know, we've got the World Cup on. And I know this Global Cup, is this getting announced on the 10th, which obviously will be the day the pod launches, but it's tomorrow for us as at the time of recording. So there's a Global Cup. Has there been any more information on that?
No. To be perfectly honest, there hasn't. There has obviously been some pretty massive news today. But before we come to that, yeah, we'll just finish off with the World Cup chat. There hasn't really been that I've seen. Again, it's just going to be a case of wait and see. And obviously the guys who are listening to the podcast will know about it, you know, before we do as such. So yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll definitely be interesting. But what was quite interesting, Russ, was today's announcement of a new partnership.
With Mr. Messi?
With Lionel Messi, which is obviously massive news. Obviously, they had the Mbappe one a few weeks ago. However, similarly, when they've had other athlete announcements, there's not been a lot since. So you kind of wonder where does it go from here? It is a monster size, you know. I said it to my partner and, you know, she knows who Messi is, and she was like, that's surely got to be massive. And I was like, yeah, you would think so. And it just, you know, what impact does it really have? It'll bring, you know, brand awareness, but unless there's a lot more marketing done around that, you know, where does it fall in the grand scheme of things? Is it another pebble in the ocean before we actually get anything substantial?
You want to see these guys playing it, don't you? Do you know what I mean? You know, Griezmann plays it actively. You know, there's other guys, you know, Rudy Camacho, Van der Voort, Tony Watt, Nicky Clark. There's a few Scottish guys. There's a few guys in the MLS. There's a few guys over in sort of Belgian and Dutch football that actively play, and you can see that. And they buy cards, and they're, you know, relatively active in the market. And then you've got, for me, you've got these other guys that have been sort of involved in, whether it be, you know, podcasts, whether it be, you know, sort of videos, YouTube, things like that. You know, we've seen guys like Gary Vee, you know, obviously quite influential in the sort of tech and lots of followers and stuff. But Gary Vee can't put a team out, to my knowledge. I've not checked recently, but the last time I looked, he wouldn't actually be able to put a team out. I don't think he had a goalkeeper. I think he had like, you know, two Mbappes and three Joao Felix. But it was for the collectability aspect and maybe the future resale, but it certainly wasn't for putting out in a team. And I would like, surely if you are getting guys that are what are classed as brand ambassadors, you need them to be actively at least playing every so often the actual game. You know, surely.
You would
it kind of makes sense to me anyway.
You know, it's if they're putting their, you know, their lineups on their social media platforms and getting the attention that way, you know, and then all of a sudden you've got people looking at Messi's Instagram or you know, whichever other platform, and you're seeing, you know, this is my team's lineup for this week, and you're like, right, okay, what's this thing? You know, it would definitely attract attention, especially in the social media world. So yeah, I think it'll all come down to what happens next. What is next? You know, what does next look like, and seeing where it goes from there. But either way, you know, the brand is now associated with, you know, the name Lionel Messi. You know, and he again isn't going to put his name to something lightly. So it should really give a credibility to the platform as well as some visibility. As I say, it all comes down to what's next. Where does it go from here? So I think that's probably all I've really got to touch on with it, to be perfectly honest. It's massive news, it's great news, but what's next?
What do we do with it?
Yeah, well, where does it go from here? But I think where we'll go from here, Russ, will we follow up a little bit on, you know, the last few weeks where we've kind of reviewed all of the Scottish leagues? You know, we brought all the teams together. We've done it in four parts, as you know, regular listeners will know. If you've not listened to the last four podcasts, you'll get our overview of the season so far for all 12 teams. But we were going to do a little bit of a catch-up on, you know, the weekend and we could probably include most of this week's fixtures. We've got a little bit just to go in one in some of the games here. But what I've had a lot of messages, Russ, and I know you mentioned you had a few as well, was we talked about a lot of outfield players, but we didn't really touch on much with the goalkeepers. Now, we've obviously been big vocal supporters of likes of Liam Kelly, for example, as being, you know, one of the safest keepers in the league and things like that. So what I thought it may be interesting to do, and I did a wee bit, I know you've been extremely busy, but what I've done is I've actually pulled all the starting goalkeepers, their match stats, so in terms of how many games they've played, have they played 100% of the games or what have you, how many clean sheets they've had, how many goals they've conceded, and most importantly, what's their price on the market as it stands? So I'll run through these, Russ, and obviously we'll maybe get a wee bit of input from you in terms of, because obviously you'll know all these players, whether it's, you know, to do with the stats or what have you, and obviously you've got your Opta numbers as well. So it might be interesting just to kind of compare through them. So I'll start at the top. Well, actually, what I'll start with is Kilmarnock, St Johnstone and Rangers. No first-choice goalkeepers have cards for any of those three teams. So I haven't wasted my time and I won't waste your time telling you about Elliot Parrish or anybody else of that ilk, because there's no point. But we'll start at the top. I've gone through alphabetical just to help your OCD, Russ. So I've gone with Aberdeen first, and their goalkeeper is Kel Roos, who they signed in the summer. He has played 14 out of 14 games. He has got three clean sheets. He has conceded 23 goals, however. So that's a lot of minus threes and fours, whichever it is. I can't quite remember off the top of my head at this moment in time. The lowest price for him on the market, though, was 560 quid. Which for a team that's been doing, you know, fairly decently, is pretty decent, but only the three clean sheets. So you're only really looking at three big scores from them there. These prices, when I say only 400 or only 500, I'm talking about for a starting goalkeeper. So keep that in perspective. But yeah, Kel Roos, Russ, your early thoughts on him this season?
I think he's been pretty decent. I seen him in an interview on the, I think it was STV, which is one of the Scottish sort of TV channels. Basically, it wasn't too in-depth, but it was just obviously saying how he was quite enjoying the environment, having played like kind of lower league and stuff and that previously, that he was enjoying the environment, you know, playing Rangers, Celtic. And he actually was even praising, you know, going to just grounds where it was just like unique atmospheres, you know, Livingston, Motherwell and stuff. He is, for the season, on 540 points, and from an Opta perspective, all in. So if you'd bought and you were putting him in every single week with the objective of getting as high a score as possible in total, he is fifth in the Scottish goalkeepers on the overall Opta charts.
And like you say, 560 isn't a bad price, I don't think. And that's, I've went with
I think that's fair.
I've basically went with the pound value. I've not looked at the ETH value. I've actually converted all into the pound value, because ultimately, with the huge fluctuation in ETH, there's no point in me saying, yeah, he's been selling for 0.5, and you go and look, and because it's adjusted, it's selling at 0.6. Do you know what I mean? I've tried to keep up with the actual pound value here. So the second one, Celtic, Joe Hart. Now, this was one that I was quite surprised at how, I'm going to say, poor his stats are, if I'm being honest. He's played 13 of 13. Well, he's actually played 14 of 14, including tonight. But this is up until before the games on Wednesday night. He's played 13 out of 13. However, he's only had six clean sheets. And this is purely league. This isn't including the European stuff. This is purely league-based. He's conceded 11 goals in those other seven games. Market price, £1,028. Now, he's lost midweek utility as well. I think that's a very high price for that level of return. If he had 9 or 10 clean sheets, maybe. But I think that's really high for only six clean sheets. That's less than 50%.
Yeah, he does sit number one in the Opta points totals on 685. But in comparison to, say, Liam Kelly, who, as I say, we champion, he's only 35 points, and I'm sure you'll come up with the prices and stuff for Liam Kelly in a minute. But Joe Hart, like last season when I did the Scottish goalkeepers chart, Craig Gordon and Joe Hart were so far ahead of everybody else, it was just unreal. And it's somewhere on my Twitter, but obviously it'll be around about the summer, probably June or July, that I posted it. But this season in comparison, nowhere near as consistent score-wise, or are probably actually impressive even watching them. You know, and you can watch them in Scotland if you know, Sky Sports, one of the old firms, on every weekend. So there's no really an excuse to not see them on the telly.
But yeah, it's like that. Six clean sheets is the most in the league. Don't get me wrong. He is going to get, you know, probably more of those green scores, but I was surprised it was so few clean sheets, if I'm being honest. But I've went on to Dundee United and I've actually listed both their goalkeepers. Mark Birigeti started the season, then fell out of the squad and Eriksen took over. But Eriksen's actually played 9 games. To Birigeti's now 6. I've got it before tonight. So Birigeti had 5 games out of 14 that he played, and 0 clean sheets. Now that may be about to change. That may go into a 1. But he'd conceded 11 goals in those 5 games. And he was sitting at £514. The other goalkeeper, Karl-Johan Eriksen, he'd played 9 out of 14. He's had 3 clean sheets in those 9 games. He's conceded 19, but 9 of those were that game that was probably just one of those freak games where Celtic just hit on all cylinders. Take that out of the equation, he's conceded 10 and 8 and had 3 clean sheets. That's not a bad return for a keeper that's been pushed to the side to put Birigeti back in, who was, you know, has had a couple of pretty big clangers in his previous 2 games. But Eriksen, Russ, was sitting at £220 on the market, which I think he'll get his chance again. I definitely think he'll get his chance again. £220 seems very light. But that looks to me, you know, the situation in Spain where we looked at with Reina and the other boy, Yanez, where the 2 prices were quite high. You combine the 2 because you're probably going to need both of those. You're looking at £700. So, yeah, that's obviously your beloved. Dundee United, they're probably coming off the bottom of the league tonight. I'm not sure about the goal difference, but that's it's a tough one. But I had to put both in because I didn't feel there was a clear first choice in that.
Yeah, Birigeti's out of the sort of current number ones. He's 12th out of 12. You'll go over 200 points up to tonight. It's looking like a clean sheet. I've obviously been watching the sort of the live text. As we've been doing the pod, just as a side note, you know, all I needed was a substitution, and United have used all 5 subs, and my 5th man has not come on, which basically means I've got 4 man, and I will sit 7th in the table tonight.
How have you gone down to 7th? I didn't realise you'd gone down to 7th.
Oh, because, well, what's not come on? They've brought in Niskanen and Mikkelsen for the last 5 minutes. So there's no more substitutions left. So I've got a DNP. So effectively, I've ended up with 4 players out of what was looking like a solid 5-player lineup. And one of those things, you just look at it and go, the strategy behind that, right, this has got to be 5 cards. You're looking and going, unbelievable. Anyway, Birigeti, just purely my opinion, I think Eriksen's a better keeper. Birigeti will probably now get a clean sheet. I'm looking, it's 90 minutes here. It's 4-0 United. He will get a clean sheet. However, Kilmarnock have had 16 shots tonight and not a single one on target. So yeah. I'm not sure that, you know, he's obviously not been tested tonight. He's not had a test. Like you, 100%, I do believe that Eriksen will get back in the goal. And I hope so, since I've got the blue super rare.
You do.
I do.
Full disclosure. Next one, Russ, was Hearts, Craig Gordon. Now, again, surprising stats. He has played 12 out of 13, the rest of them for one of the games after one of the European outings. He's only got 1 clean sheet to his name for the season. He has conceded 21 goals in those 12 games as well. And his price is fairly reflective of that. Believe it or not, he is the cheapest starting goalkeeper on the market at £440, Russ. So I thought that was very light. His age will factor into that. I mean, he's 40 on Hogmanay, or the 31st of December, for those non-Scottish listeners. But on Hogmanay, he'll turn 40. So we've obviously spoke offline about, you know, slight regression since the last Scotland games. But that also coincided with the birth of his child. So whether he's having, you know, issues with sleep, I know what that's like. And it's affecting, you know, his performance when it comes to Saturdays or what have you. I don't know. However, that's the stats. Only one clean sheet for the season, Russ.
Sitting in ninth out of the current number ones at the moment, which that's just not the Craig Gordon we know.
No.
Like you say, could be a variety of factors that are affecting. He hasn't looked... I think he's still been fine, like in a Scotland jersey, but like you say, for Hearts, he's not been as impressive. I would be maybe quite enthused if I was a Xander Clark holder. You know, sitting obviously over the summer, hoping that he would get a move. It genuinely looked as though he was probably on his way to Tannadice. It didn't quite work out that way. Also then looked as though he was on his way to Stoke. Obviously, Stoke's incentive had a change of management, etc. Mm-hmm. And he's linked up at Hearts. In truth, it can't be too far away that he is getting some game time, I would think.
I would agree with that as well. Right, we'll go on to Hibs. A keeper that I just picked up, David Marshall. He has played 15 out of 15 games. High profile signing for them. Five clean sheets out of those 15. He has conceded 22 goals, which is a lot. Over the 15 games. £520 market price on him. I was pretty happy to pick him up because I think he is a safe pair of hands. I thought it would have been a better result last night than the 2-0 defeat. I seen the goals and I felt vindicated when I was talking about my, you know, that Ryan Porteous is prone to stupid decisions. And if you've seen the goals from last night, you'll know exactly what I mean. Just ran out of his centre-back position to the touchline for no reason. Left his man wide open and Ross County scored. So yeah, David Marshall there, 520, Russ. I think, again, it's fairly sort of middle of the pack. There's a lot of players around that sort of price.
Yeah, he's got another year after June as well. So he's got 18 months left of the contract. Yeah. Dabrowski is just back from injury, I believe, at Hibs as well. They've got another lad, I think it's Ryan Schofield, I think, that's at Hibs. It's a third choice on loan from Huddersfield off the top of my head. Marshall, I would say, would be pretty safe. He would have to have, you know, I think maybe one or two clangers in a row. And I know he didn't have the greatest of games. I think it was maybe about a month ago. But he's got to be a relatively safe pick. £500, you're definitely going to get, like, you know, utility out of him over the next 18 months.
Yeah.
He sits third out of the Scottish goalkeepers and opted on a credible 626 points.
Yep.
There are only three keepers over 600 points total so far this season, and he's one of them. So, yeah, I think that's a safe pick that you've made there, mate.
Definitely. Livingston next, a goalkeeper that I have half an eye on. When I am looking to sell my Spanish goalkeeper so that I can kind of just go full hog into, you know, the Challenge of Europe again, primarily Scottish. Shamal George for Livingston. He's played 13 of 14. He was injured a week past when they played against Celtic, was it? And they played Flapjack in his place, Jack Hamilton. He's got four clean sheets for the season, Russ, and he's only conceded 16 goals for the season. They have been, you know, they've been difficult to break down. He's going to get a lot of shots against them, though, where he's going to be saving them and things like that there as well. £485 was his last sale price. And again, I think that's really decent value, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think that is, out with obviously Ericsson, I think it's actually the third lowest price. So it's, I think it's decent value.
Yeah, I like, do you know what, I like the look of him as a keeper. I wasn't 100% sure when sort of pre-season they were sort of raving about, you know, he was at Colchester United, I think it was beforehand.
Yeah.
They seemed to be, from what I could see on Twitter actually, I think they were quite sorry to lose him. I think he would seem to be like quite an emerging keeper. I'm not necessarily saying a young keeper because I think he's, what, is he 24 maybe?
Yeah.
I think something like that. But yeah, he's actually looked pretty good when I've seen him. I've not seen many Livingston games, but I think I've maybe seen about three this season live on TV. I think he looks pretty athletic, you know, he sort of dives about the goal pretty effectively, good shot stopper. He is seventh out of the 12 keepers, but again, I think he's missed two games in total, so his points total maybe is a wee bit skewed. I think he maybe missed the first game. And like you say, Jack Hamilton went in the goal there recently. So you would argue that he would probably have another 100 points on that, which would then put him in that sort of top three or four.
Yeah, 485 quid. And I don't think Livingston are in any remote danger. They had a good result last night as well. So
yeah, they'll be
safe as houses. Next one, Motherwell, Liam Kelly, as we just mentioned. He has played every game this season, so it'll be 15 after tonight, but it's 14 out of 14 up until before kickoff. 5 clean sheets, 19 goals conceded, though. That's quite a hefty tally from basically what is 9 games. £655, second highest price in the league, possibly because we constantly champion him. but that's his price on the market. And again, you know, I expect him. And if he doesn't, I'll be astonished. I expect him to start for Scotland next week against Turkey.
I think he'll definitely see game time. He'll either see the first half or the second half, you would like to think. If Steve Clarke doesn't use an other keeper and give somebody an opportunity in a meaningless friendly, it would be absolutely ludicrous. Liam Kelly, like you say, £655. He's got 650 points, so it's almost a pound a point. And probably the best pound per pound prospect. Second place on the Opta charts, obviously behind Joe Hart. But to be fair, looking at the both of them, if you said to me right now, you've got would be arguably roughly about one ETH landing in your pot. You need to buy a goalkeeper in Scotland. I would buy Kelly before Hart, and I would leave myself the 0.35 or the 0.332 buy other players with.
Yeah, makes sense. Definitely makes sense. Ross County are next. That's Ross Laidlaw, the ever doubted Ross Laidlaw. He's played 15 out of 15, 4 clean sheets. He has conceded 24 goals. He had a couple of, you know, I think there was the 5-0 to Motherwell and things like that. 524 quid still on the market. So again, kind of that middle of the pack price. But again, I don't think their backups are up to much. And he has, you know, I think he was clean sheet at the, you know, last night against Hibs. Decent performances recently as well. So yeah, at 520 quid, would I go with him before I went for the likes of Ishmael George? Probably not. It's a decent price, and you know what? He's producing some decent scores. So,
yeah, he's pretty much in the way that St. Johnson have defied you in your prediction. Ross Laidlaw's kind of defying us both, and I think I probably was a bit more vocal. I still won't pick him up. I know that obviously Ross County are hit and miss. And you would have thought that if he was going to be dropped, he would have been dropped in previous games. He's just not a keeper for me. But he's sitting on 598 points for the season, which is a pretty good return for those guys that do have him. Yeah. He is, what's that, fourth in Scottish goalkeepers out of the 12 at the moment for the number ones. So for those guys that are holding him and haven't doubted his ability, then they're obviously laughing at the moment. He's doing okay. And to be fair, Laidlaw's got Aikaviti and Baldwin in mm-hmm. front of him that are both doing, you know, pretty well. I think Aikaviti scored, I think it was 97 or 100 last night.
Yeah.
He's in my underdog team.
Excellent. It was quite the score there for him. The final team in the league, St Mirren. And that was Trevor Carson, who's their goalkeeper, who'd moved there from Dundee United. And 13 out of 13, well, 14 out of 14 tonight. 5 clean sheets in those 13 games, Russ. Conceded 20. And his price, he ties with Craig Gordon for the cheapest goalkeeper at £440. Again, you know, I think it's decent value, but I could probably come back to, obviously, if you've got the bit extra, Liam Kelly. If you're looking for a proper budget one, Marshall or George would probably be my pick there. But Trevor Carson, Russ, your thoughts?
I was quite disappointed when Dundee United put him out on loan. I think he went down to Morecambe, if I remember. Didn't really ever get a chance at our club. And obviously, we were aware of the Seagrist at the time contract situation. I genuinely believed that Carson should have got a few more games for us. I quite liked him, you know, but I thought his handling was really good. I thought his positioning seemed really good. St Mirren are a bit hit and a miss. So away from home, they've not been great. But at home, they seem to be, you know, they've more often than not been relatively good. I think they were drawn tonight, were they?
96th minute equaliser for St Johnston from a follower from Nicky Clark with a 96th minute equaliser.
A man on fire.
Yeah, Mark O'Hara with the goal that took the lead for St Mirren in 81st. And yes, that's a couple of goals in a couple of games for him as well. So a few players that we've constantly, you know, and I've certainly mentioned Mark O'Hara quite a lot because he used to play for my team and I know he's a really quality player. And then, but you know, it's funny that you see these players that we've mentioned early doors and talked about for a long time are producing on a regular basis. So it just goes to show sometimes when if you stick to what you know, you'll probably get the better results, you know, because it's easier for us to find these kind of things. So, yeah,
definitely.
But yeah, I think it was. I thought it was pretty decent just to follow on from what we talked about with all the players, just to give a wee bit of feedback about the goalkeepers, because, you know, as I say, I've had plenty of questions about them and no doubt you have as well. So it just kind of brings it all full circle. And like I say, Kilmarnock and Johnston Ross County, and Rangers, no first choice team goalkeepers there. So there was no point in kind of obviously mentioning them. But yeah, if, like you say, Russ, if you were given the one ETH, you're probably plumping for Liam Kelly. If I was given one ETH, I would probably plump for Marshall and George and have two. Mm-hmm. And that could be two the starters for two really solid teams. So yeah, it's a decent run down there.
I think there's just with the Scottish keepers, you know, there's still, you know, from a safety perspective, you look and you think, right, you know, Liam Kelly is really safe, you would think, as a number one. Unless he's injured or suspended, in theory, he shouldn't lose the shirt. And I would probably say it's pretty much the same with Trevor Carson at mm-hmm. St Mirren. I think Shamal George is now pretty cemented.
I would wholeheartedly agree. As I say, Jack Hamilton used to play for Dundee and he was nicknamed Flapjack because he would flap at everything, and he did it at the weekend as well when he got his chance. It was, you see these errors, he's just so prone to an error. He's very much a confidence goalkeeper. So Shamal George will be the number one there. I'd have zero doubt in that.
So out of the Jacks, would you rather have Jack Hamilton or Kelvin Jack in your goal?
Can we just play back here, any man save?
Fair enough.
I'll go with that, because that would suit me. Just back here, any man save. If you're not from Scotland, you're not going to understand that, and I'm not going to tell you. You'll figure it out somehow. But yeah, that's what I would rather play. Just, you know, back here, any man save. We did get to a cup semi-final with Kelvin Jack, right enough.
The Challenge Cup?
No, Scottish Cup.
What was it?
Scottish Cup 2006, we lost to Gretna 3-0. And at one point, he was, whilst the ball was up at the other end, he was just sitting down and everything. It was just horrendous. That was one of the days, I think I actually threw a scarf that day. Pure frustration at losing to a third tier team at the time. But yes, that was that. So I think that would be my choices, Russ, would be Shamal George and David Marshall. I'm waiting to see if obviously I can get my Spanish goalkeeper sold, because he's sitting about, you know, 1.1. And I do intend on taking a chunk out for Christmas money, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, being able to kind of buy a keeper for a fraction of the price and take out a big chunk of money makes sense to me.
So maybe to kind of, I know that we're obviously next week, we're going to do the World Cup.
Yeah.
Kind of in a fair bit of depth, just with players that you can maybe pick up, that we can maybe spot maybe under 0.1. We'll try and see what we can find there for guys for the World Cup, and we'll cover the World Cup in a bit more We'll just probably just dedicate the full episode, I think, next week to that. So obviously, because the Scottish football will be finished for the break. But you know, maybe just to kind of summarise and finalise for this pod, what's your kind of plans on sort of trades and things over the next week? What's your intentions and, you know, what are you hoping to move on and get in?
To be honest, I'm actually thinking now that I intend on probably selling out most of my Spanish cards if I can. If I can make the money off them that I am looking for, it'll more than cover what I would get in the thresholds. Ultimately, my goalkeeper was a result of the purchase of Iskandel, as we mentioned. You know, it was a £200, £300 purchase that's become £1,200. So I'm keeping that in mind, and I'm kind of just thinking, well, do you know what? If I can liquidate that, get a £500-600 goalkeeper and take the rest of it out. And then I've still got five other outfield players that are ranging anything from 0.06 to 0.1, that if I can sell those out, I'll probably just look to bring in a wee bit better quality into my lineup. But I'd be quite confident putting any of those teams, obviously, into the threshold. That would be no problem. But I need to find my strongest lineup to put into Challenger, because as we know, that's where you're up against your PSVs and your Ajaxes and things like that, and it's a lot harder. So, I'll just try and find the best combination of players. So that's really my plan, is to try and work my way through. I'm keeping a close eye on Pavel's gallery in case anything substantial appears that I can maybe go, oh, there's two or three players there. Maybe I could trade the goalkeeper and get those three players and then sell the other ones and take the money out that way. So I do intend on taking a wedge of cash out, but that's my plans. What about you, Russ?
I signed on the short-term basis that I kind of have been running. I didn't know if Rafa Gicewicz at Augsburg was going to be playing or not. Now he has. He came back at the weekend and has been playing. So I kind of felt as though I've been a keeper short. And I noticed the article on Mike Maignan at Milan, where he'd kind of had a reoccurrence of, I believe it's a calf and a leg injury. So I picked up Cyprian Tatarusanu, the Romanian goalkeeper, mm-hmm. at Milan. Purely, actually, he was under 0.2. For a start, so you know, it wasn't an awful lot. He's been playing really well. I am fully aware that a fit Maignan obviously takes his place 100%. I get that. However, I thought, you know what, I'll get this weekend out of him and I'll be able to definitely put in another competition, probably a relatively strong team. So I've been sitting there, you know, on the last few weeks as I've been kind of juggling the gallery around. Sometimes finding myself maybe a keeper short, and I probably should have addressed this sooner, because it just makes so much sense to have as many playing goalkeepers as you can within budget, where the teams would actually genuinely contest something. So I'm looking there going, oh, do you know what, 7-8 teams, oh, I've got two that the keeper might play. So I've obviously brought him in. I've got quite a few cards. I've got some cards up for sale that I'm open to moving on. Not in particular due to poor performance, but what I am trying to do, I'm trying to make Scotland's Serrera count. Okay, I've just made a few changes. I've actually renamed the club. So I've renamed in line with my fantasy football team, which is Last Resort FC. Hmm. What I want to do is I want to, if possible, see how many prizes I can win in either, I'll probably restrict it to Global and Challenger, given that there's not an under 23 sort of Scottish playing goalkeeper really at the moment. But what I want to do is I want to see if I can contest the prizes using maybe Scottish only cards or Scottish league cards. Bit of an experiment, want to see if it's possible. I've been pretty close a couple of times in Challenger. I was quite close and limited there. Actually, it was Liam Kelly, of all people, that let me down. I think I got the four good scores in the Hibs-Aberdeen game.
Yep.
I got the goals from Miofsky. I got a goal from Ramadani. The Hibs guys both scored okay points. And I thought, you know what? 50, 60 points from Liam Kelly. I'm all singing, all dancing. Limiteds all the way here just for my one team. I thought prizes galore. And Liam Kelly, I think, pulled a 26 or a 29 or something. And, it was just shy. I was like, oh, jeez. But yeah, I'm gonna make some more changes. I do openly. I'm planning on getting another keeper, another Scottish keeper, based on obviously the research tonight and what I've said on the pod. It might be Liam Kelly, but however, I would be more than happy, obviously, to pick up like a Shamal George, or possibly, you know, a Kelrus or David Marshall as well. I've no objection to picking those guys up.
Yeah.
I need to kind of see what's happening with Eriksen at Dundee United. I'm a wee bit disappointed in the fact, as I say, that now he's going to be till January, realistically, before we see him again in the sticks. It's quite a lot of money, in the fact that it was about an £800 card that's sitting kind of doing nothing. But there's nothing I can do about it. I've just got to accept it and move on and just use the blue cards that are playing, the super rares that are playing. I've just got to use them in underdog or whatever competition, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's where I'm at. It's going to probably be it's going to ramp down, I would think, for most managers and most listeners. The next 3-4 weeks, it's going to be, I don't know, it might be tough going unless there's some amazing announcement tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what comes of that. We will obviously discuss that on next week's podcast, but we're certainly going to cover the World Cup and all its, well, some would say glory, some would say otherwise for this particular one.
We do a video pod.
We might do. We might well do. Make this a special edition, but we will.
Will we get a kit?
Are you drunk?
should we get a kit? I mean, a video pod.
Usually,
that'd make it exciting.
Usually, like the Sports Direct store in Dundee used to always, whatever World Cup, they would have, like, I remember 2006, I think it was, they had Ecuador kit and stuff like that, or maybe that was 2010. But I remember there being, you know, so I can't see them having the Iran kit, Russ. I just can't see them having the Iran kit. So if you rock up on this podcast next week with an Iran kit, we'll definitely get on the video. So we'll see how it goes.
Spoiling the fun. I'm just... Okay, fair enough.
I'll see what I could do. I can't promise anything. I'll see what I could do. Right, but nonetheless, we'll keep you posted on Twitter with our intentions for that. Regardless, the podcast will be up on all formats, but hopefully we'll try and get a video format in there as well, Russ, so just to keep your wee face happy. There we go. You would get to see the finger gesture that he just gave me, but it was a thumbs up, actually. It was a polite one. But yes, that's that. So anyway, guys, take care. Enjoy your game weeks, and we will speak to you all again next week with our special Coupe du Monde episode. Take care, guys.